This evening's shiur begins on the Nun Zayin Beis, about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the page of two dots. Nafla Gino Venenis Mishalemis Mashanenis. So the Mishnah, which we learned a while ago, which appears in the very beginning of the parak on Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis, taught that if a person has an animal, and an animal falls into a gina, into someone's garden, and it's nene, it derives benefit, so we're going to clarify this moment when it derives benefit through the fall or after the fall, so then the din is mishalem is mashanenes, the owner has to pay for hanah. Yor do kedarka vizika mishalem is mashazika, right? The difference being, of course, that when a person is responsible for hezek, so namely he was negligent to some degree, he failed to watch his animal properly, so then he has to pay for damages. In this case, he has to pay full damages, sometimes it's chatzi nezek, but over here he has to pay hezek. However, we learned earlier in the Masechta, in the second parak, and we see again in this Mishnah, is that there are times that even if you're not chayv to pay damages, you're technically not a mazik, you have to still pay hanah. Hanah, once again, is the benefit that I receive at your expense. And there's a special halacha that a person has to pay for hanah even when he's not a mazik. So you'll say, what's the gain, if you will, of a person who's possible from hezek? He's going to have to pay hanah anyway. So the answer is two important distinctions. Number one, not in every situation where a person is a mazik or causes damage does he necessarily benefit. So it's not that there's always hanah whenever there's hezek. And perhaps more importantly, damages is almost always going to be more than hanah in terms of the actual payment, because damage, when a person has to pay for damage, he has to pay for whatever was lost, whatever the amount was, regardless of how much hanah he receives. However, when it comes to calculating hanah, so it could be much less than that. So let's say if my animal, let's say, eats a very expensive produce, and the guy's feeding, eats his rose bush, so it was a major loss to him. He sells these beautiful flowers at a great profit, but the hanah that I received as the owner of the animal was pretty minimal, because if it weren't for this, I would have given him Cheerios, or I would have given him barley. So now the fact that he ate your $100 rose bush doesn't really make a difference to me, so I don't really have to pay hanah. So that's the basic difference between hanah and hezek. So over here, the Gemara is not picking up on that line in the Mishnah, and says, what are the circumstances over here where an animal falls into a gina? Again, Rashi, I think on the Mishnah, said that the Messias was that either there were different elevations, so a person is, let's say, his property is at a higher elevation than his neighbor's property. So the animal is, let's say, grazing a little close to the edge of the property and literally falls off. Or, Rashi says, possibly is close to the side of the road and the animal slips. But, the word nafla implies that there was, some difference in the elevation over here, which is why the animal lost its footing and fell into someone else's gina. So the Gemara begins over here by saying, Amar Rav b'nechpita, aval achla afil mashanenes enim shalemes. Rav said, take that back, Amar Rav b'nechpita. That's it. That's what we're going to stop at that word at the moment. Amar Rav, that when it says in the Mishnah the animal falls and derives hanah, how did it derive hanah? What was the hanah that received? So normally, when we hear animals on hanah, we assume what? Eating. So says Rab, that wasn't the hanah that the animal received over here. It was benechpata. What does that mean? Says Rab, says Rashi, the first wide line. I mean, Rab, haydiktani mashenenim saslemes shenechpata koma. The animal, the chibot is what? The impact on the ground. Shekishenechpata ala tvua, that when the animal fell on the grain, shikasam bekarka, he pressed them into the ground, vihifsidam, and he ruined the produce. Vihin nehenes shalolaksa bekarka, but the animal was what? Benefited, the owner of the animal benefited as well, because the animal wasn't killed by the fall. So the produce basically cushioned the fall of the animal. Says Rav, that's the case in the Mishnah. When it says nafla, if the animal fell, mishalemes mashanenes, what are we talking about? Not the animal fell and then ate, but rather what? Benechpata, where the animal fell, and the hanah that it received was the cushioned impact of the ground, thereby preventing the animal from sustaining any serious damages. Okay? So now continues the Gemara and says, wait a second. How do you read Rav? So Rav says benechpata. So now it says the Gemara is a kav kasha. Aval ochla, do you mean to tell me that if the animal ate, afilu mashanenes, and mishalemes, that even the hanah that it received, you wouldn't pay? In other words, when Rav says over here benechbata, Rav can mean one of two things. Either Rav means dafka benechbata, meaning you're only chayv to pay hana when the animal fell and derived hana through the cushioning of the fall. But if the animal ate, you would not be able to collect hana, and we don't know why yet. Or the other possibility over here is that it's even benechbata. So it says, how do you read this? If you read it about ochla, afilu mashenenes enim shalemes. If that's how you read it, says the Gemara, Leima Rav L'Tameh. If that's so, then perhaps Rav over here is consistent with his reasoning elsewhere. What does Rav say elsewhere? So this takes us back to Mem Zayin Mevayis. What was the case over there? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi gives us the background. Gabi Hichnes Peirosov L'Chotzo Chaveir Shalob Rishus. I don't know if you remember this case. A person is walking around with all of his Peiros. It's a hot day, he wants to take a break. So he's going to go into Starbucks, but he doesn't want to bring all of his papers up to Starbucks. So he finds a nice field, not a odorless field, but it's a vacant field, and he thinks it's a nice place to just park his papers. He places his papers down in the field, and he goes into Starbucks. He didn't ask permission from the owner. And then he comes back, and he finds out what? The owner's animal, the guy whose property it was, got hurt. Huska behen, so it says in the Mishnah, Huska behen, so behemoth of alabayas chayv alaperos. Right? Rashi quotes the din over there is that what? The guy who placed the peros without permission into somebody else's field, he has to pay. So v'amar Rav, now Rav over there says kishuhuchluk behen shanu. What was the case over there the Mishnah is talking about, where the animal slipped and hurt himself on the peros? Aval achlo v'hitriza. But if the animal sees the peros and eats them, and it gets very sick as a result, because he wasn't able to digest them properly, he was allergic to them, it wasn't really part of his diet, and the animal gets sick or dies, so then potter hamachnis. So then the person who put the peros there is potter from having to pay. Why? Says Rav, quotes Rashi, the habalot shelo tochal, because the owner of the peros, I don't remember this case. The owner of the peros can say, it's not my fault your animal ate it. I didn't tell them. I just put my peros down there. I didn't tell your animal to eat it. Your animal ate. So the way we'll read Rav, it's a grumma. It's a grumma. You're right, I had no right to put my peros there. But my peros did not directly cause any damage to your animal. It didn't explode. My peros were just sitting there minding their own business, and your animal came along and ate it. So hayala shelo tocha. So hachanami, says Rashi, perhaps that's what Rav is saying over here. Amar bala behema b'yiridasa anusihi sharei nafla. So the bala behema is going to say the following: the fact that my animal fell, I'm an onus, right? I can't be responsible for that. After all, nafla means it was an accident. It fell. Uba achilasa, the fact that he ate all your peros when he got there. Hayilah shlo tochal, he shouldn't have eaten. Ramani Yochalosis, what am I supposed to do? My animal shouldn't have eaten.
Would it make a difference if the peros were rotten or edible?
Maybe, but for the moment, let's not complicate things more. So hold on, if you want, you can store that question in for a moment. So, but, I mean, the truth of the matter is, the sugi over there, Dr. Mzayan, talks about poisonous food. Actually, there is a discussion in that sugi over there. But over here, I don't know that makes a difference. So says the Gemara, if you mean to tell me that Rav says over here, you only have to pay hana if the animal, if the benefit received is the cushioning of the fall, but if the animal eats, you put there, so it must be that that's Rav l'shitase. Because Rav earlier said that, if I put my peros in your field, and your animal eats my peros and he gets sick and dies, so you can't sue me for that, because I said your animal shouldn't have eaten. So it's the same thing over here. The fact that my animal fell, it's not my fault. And then he decided to eat, also not my fault. The animal should have eaten.
What poison, though?
Well, hold on a second. Says the Gemara, what? Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. How could you compare? Says the Gemara, hochi hashta. Eimor the amarav hasam, hayelo shlo tochal. When is it that Rav would have such a svara that he would say the animal shouldn't eat? That's what over there, because heichad is kesahi. That's in a situation where what? Your animal gets damaged on my peros. The matzi amalei bal mari the peiros, the owner of the peiros could say, lo mashalma. I'm not paying you. Your animal shouldn't be eaten. What business are you eating my pears? You're suing me because your animal ate my pears. That doesn't make sense. However, says the Gemara, Lazuki, he achrini. But if my animal eats somebody else's pears, the patiri, and I'm trying to use this as a svara to patami, the tiri slew me yomar. No, Rav would never say such a thing. In other words, says the Gemara, it's true that Rav has this very interesting idea of hayelosh lotochal, which basically means the guy could sometime patter himself by saying, I'm not responsible to pay you because your animal should not have eaten my food. Or perhaps another way to say it is, you should have done a good, better job watching it. And it's a grumma. It's not my fault. It's not something that I caused directly. But says the Gemara, Rav wouldn't necessarily say the other way. As you're right, the fact that my animal fell. Okay, so I'm an honest on that. But now that the animal's down there eating, so I still derive hana from the fact that my animal doesn't want to say, well, you shouldn't have eaten. It's my animal. That's not a good time. So the Gemara therefore rejects this notion that when Rav says benefita, it means davka benefita. So says the Gemara, Ella lomi boy kama. Says the Gemara, you're right. What's going on over here is what we call a lomi boy. The Gemara over here is presenting a lesser chiddush to teach you of the greater chiddush. Lomi boy achla de b'shalemes mashenenes. Not only in a situation, it goes without saying that in a situation where the animal eats, that the owner has to pay for hana. But if the animal what? Derives benefit, if I, the owner of the animal, derive benefit because the fall is cushioned by the peiros, Ema, perhaps he could say, Mavriach Ari Minechse Chaveru Umashenenis Nami Lo Mishalim. That what? So this is a new expression. I don't think we've had this expression yet in the Masechta, to the best of my recollection. Fascinating concept called Mavriach Ari Minechse Mechaveru. It's an expression. Nothing. There are no lines over here. There's no line over here, but it's an expression that's used. Anybody know what the expression means? Mavriach Ari Minechse Chaveru. Literally, what is to be Mavriach Ari? Chase away the lion, the next chaveru. So there's a concept over here. The Gemara is using a formula, a certain expression that's used to describe a situation where a person chases away an animal from somebody else's property. What's the concept of mavriach ari? So let's talk about that specific case, and then there are probably an infinite number of cases where you can have this idea. I'm walking by your property. And I see your sheep are about to be attacked by what? A lion is coming in the distance. So if I go ahead and do whatever I can, we're not talking about taking any personal risks or anything like that, but I do whatever I can to chase away the lion to protect your property from being ruined, or destroyed, or damaged, so I can't then go ahead and send you a bill later. Because what I was doing was a mitzvah. I was doing a mitzvah. That's what people should do for each other. What the mitzvah is, whether you want to say it's Wadol Samana Barayacha, you want to say it's Hashavas Aveda, we could talk about what the mitzvah is, but the idea is that if I'm Mavriach Ari Minechse Chaveru, if I'm chasing away the lion in order to protect my neighbor's property, I can't then go ahead and send them a bill afterwards. That's called Mavriach Ari. So says the Gemara, perhaps you would have thought the following, that if my animal falls into your field, and it survives the fall. Why does it survive the fall?
Which animal is this?
My animal is walking close to the edge of the road, slips, falls into your beautiful gina, and he falls. It's a 10-foot drop, but miraculously the animal gets up and walks away. How did he survive the fall? He survived the fall because he squashed all of your peiros, and your peiros were like a big pillow. It was like a parachute.
Was there a conveyor?
Yes or no, it doesn't matter right now at the moment. Let's assume there was none, right? Let's just keep it simple. There was no god there, but the animal slipped and he fell. So my animal's life was saved. I'm very grateful. So that's hana. I really should have to pay you. But one would have, so the Gemara says the havamina is no. That what? I don't have to pay you. Because your what? Saving my animal's life was something that what? You had to do it. You had to do it. You were acting. No, it's
there's
loose.
No action. You can't commit the action.
Right? Okay.
One case he acted, one case he didn't act.
Right.
His mom's reaction already, he acted. So whatever he did, he did. I'll In the case of the fruit didn't have a
mouth. No, but he put the,
He didn't put the fruit there to cushion the floor. He put the fruit. Right. Right. So again, the Gemara is presenting this as a havrin. You would have thought that v'nechpata there would be no chiyuv to pay because this would be mavri achari. So kamash malan. No, Rav is saying that even if the animal falls, you still have to pay for that hanon. You can't say mavri achari. Says the Gemara ve'ema hachanam mavri achari v'nechpata. Why not? Say it's mavri achari. So the Gemara gives two answers. One of them is what you said. Actually, the two may be related, but we'll read them as two for the moment. Says the Gemara. Number one, that's midai tohu. That happens when a person makes a conscious decision to chase away the approaching lion. In other words, the idea that I can't bill you for doing you a mitzvah, for doing you a favor. The classic case is when I'm doing something midai tohu. I'm doing something with full awareness. By definition, it's something that I'm doing, consensually, because I'm making the decision to do it, and therefore I can't bill you. But hi, love me, Daito. But over here, in this case, I wake up one morning, I find that all my payers have been destroyed because your animal fell. There was nothing that was done, me, Daito. Number one, says the Gemara, Inami. Furthermore, or additionally, alternatively, says the Gemara, Mavri Achari, Menechse Chaveiro, Leslei Pseida. The classic case of Mavri Achari, there's no loss on my part. Right, so what it means is that I can't send you a bill. I can't send you a bill for what? My services, my time, my favor. But there's no pseudo. But hi, you sleep pseudo. Over here, the guy's all Paris have been ruined. So we don't call that Mavri Achari Menechse Behema. Mavri Achari, the classic case of Mavri Achari is what? Where I chase away the approaching lion. Number one, I do it consciously. I do it willingly. And I don't sustain any loss. But over here, where number one, it was done without his awareness, and number two, he lost, we're not going to call that Mavri Achari Menechse Behema, which is why Rav says, even if the animal falls, you still have to pay for the hana that you received. Hezek, there is no damages over there, because you weren't at fault because the animal fell. But the hana that you received, you have to pay. Now again, this is a perfect example. The hana, I don't know, actually, it could come out either way, but there's no correlation between the value of the payros and the amount of and the hana received. So which will be more or less doesn't really matter. But the point is, damages is the value of the payros, and the hana is
not to exceed the value of the payros.
Well,
in this particular case, you wouldn't pay more than the value.
That's so interesting. Right.
The animal that had died would have been worth nothing, and previously would have been worth $500.
Right.
So the owner of the bears can just say, give me $500.
No, that he can't do.
It would only be $100.
Right. And the reason is, again, because the chiv to pay for hana is only in the case of zenene v'zechaset. Right. If I get hana at your loss. But in a situation where, I get hana and you didn't lose anything, so then there's no chiyuv to pay in the normal circumstances. Right, so the value would not exceed, but it could, in this case conceivably, work out that way. So the point I'm just showing is, again, that the correlation between the amount of, the damages and the hana may have absolutely, no bearing one on the other.
In the case when the animal falls,
so the conclusion of the Gemara is that certainly in that case he's chayav to pay for hana. Because now the Gemara, one of the next cases the Gemara is going to talk is what was the owner doing all this time that his animal was down there in the garden eating? Was he sitting on his beach chair, reading a book? Or was he trying to do whatever he can to get down there to stop him? What did you say?
Why should he come and stop it? He didn't know.
If he didn't know, that's what I'm saying. In other words, the question is, at which point do we say that he's no longer protected by the tainus onus? The onus is what the animal fell. But if I see the animal fell, and if my excuse is I was learning for 2 hours, I didn't know where the animal was, I'm not sure that that's really a tainus onus anyway. But this is later in the Gemara. We don't have to do this now. But my point is, if you're wondering, wait a second, the answer, that means since my animal falls, he could sit there all day eating? The answer is not necessarily. But at this point, the Gemara concludes that when Rav was saying benechpata, it was afilu benechpata, but not only benechpata. Even if the animal eats, certainly, and even if the animal falls, the owner of the animal has to pay hanof that he received as a result of what this accident. It may not be damages, but there is hanof. Right. So right. So again, the Gemara over here is very vague, and it's the big. I don't know if you've noticed. There's a small Tosus on the page. Takes up the whole page. What? And Tosus over here talks about the parameters of this concept of Yachri. We're going to talk a little bit about it tonight, and we'll take a look at a couple of the cases that Tosus introduced over here. But obviously, this is a very very important topic. It's a very relevant topic, and it definitely relates to many, many different issues. Some we've seen already, and some we haven't. But the Gemara, you could argue, does seem to imply that the case of Mavri Achari is only in a situation that wouldn't require any outlay of. There is a connection. The question is, what is this? So here, let's take a Tosos right over here. So the money that you have to pay to preserve, to take care, to maintain an aveda is not mavri achari menachas behema anymore. That's not mavri achari anymore. That's just part of the mitzvah of hashavas aveda, that I'm maintaining it in order that I can return it to you.
And it's recoverable.
That's right. Hashavas aveda. I mean, if you want, you know, we'll see in a moment. Would be, let's say, like, you know, well, maybe not. So I want to say, you know, based on what we know already, because this may change, we would say that it would be like receiving a reward, you know, for doing the mitzvah. But it's not even necessarily the same thing. Yeah.
On the other hand, what happens if he mavriach et ari? Okay, I mean, you say chaviro, and the ari, and he's on his property. And the Ha'ari eats him ox.
Or
is the Bala is he responsible for the repay something to his family because
he got killed?
He ate him on his property because he was.
Again, I see a lion that the lion's coming to your property, so I'm trying to be a nice neighbor and I try to scare away the lion away, and he eats me. So now the question is, can my family sue you? No, probably not. Probably not. For many reasons. But, you know, the Mavri Achari Menechse Behemo case over here, we're not,
Menechse Chavero is not a, we're not talking about, you know, really tragic endings over here. It's just Mavri, and it sounds scary, but Mavri Achari just means that you did what you can to scare off or to. Again, that's one case, but the category of Mavri Achari means I took the initiative to protect your property.
Well, the Gemara brings up the Ari, it's really an extreme case.
Yeah, it is.
I would think maybe the Mavri are from other animals or.
Right. Something. Well, let's see. We'll see in Tosos why we use that example. Let's take a look. We're not going to start from the beginning of Tosos. There are many, many different pieces to this Tosos. Well, let's skip for a moment about 10, 12 lines down, where Tosfos says in Toma. A little more way than halfway down in the skinny part of Tosfos. It's not far down in Tosfos. Tosfos says in Toma. In Toma, the Besof Hasochus Apolim, at the end of the Perek Hasochus Apolim, Rav Batzio, Omar, the Gemara says, the Shomer Chilam Shahayilo Lekadim Beroin Makalos, Velo Kidim Chayef. But let's say there's a person who's serving as a Shomer Chilam watching somebody's sheep. So again, a Shomer Chilam, of course, has the lowest degree of responsibility, because he's doing it for free as a favor. But if he had the ability to go ahead and to try to ward off the animal, the bear, the wolf, the lion, with roan makalos, with other getting other shepherds involved or using sticks, which were some of the, you know, some of the tricks that they would use to scare off the animals, the lokidim, and he didn't do this, so chayef. So even though it's only a shamachinim, it's chayef. Mefarish says the Gemara shamachinim b'chinam, the shamach sacha b'sacha. Gemara says, well, a shamachinim only has to do whatever he can without spending money. He does not have to start hiring help in order to do this because he's only a shamachinim. If he's not getting paid, he doesn't have to lay out money. However, shamach sacha, if I'm getting paid, if I'm a paid shepherd, so I certainly have to perhaps take money, lay it out of my own pocket. And then, umasik, the Gemara concludes over there, the chosev and ultimate balabayas. That at the conclusion of the job, I can then go ahead and submit a bill to the balabas and say, okay, listen, I saved your animals today, it cost me $30, please add that to my paycheck. Umashma, the Gemara implies over there, the shamachinam lo mechayiv l'kadim bischai. As we said, that there doesn't seem to be an obligation upon a shamachinam to lay out money. Aval kol shekein im kideim bischar. But the Gemara does imply that if what? If he does take the initiative and lay out money, the shapir avad, then that's acceptable. That's certainly a nice thing to do. But knows them low, masha hotzi, and he can collect this as well. Umistabra duha dinimish the alma. She'en shomer. And it would seem that what the same would be true with anyone, because what's the difference if he's a shomer or if he's a stranger? If I lay out money in order to save your animal, so why shouldn't I get paid? Vigam scharatmo notel. So says Tosos, Mavriach Arim and Achsa Nehema. How could you collect money for that? The Gemara in Sofos HaPolim seems to imply that if you lay out money on your own in order to protect somebody else's animal, you could send him a bill afterwards. Because all the Gemara says is that the Shomachinim is not required to lay out money. But if the Shomachinim who's required to lay out money does so, he can collect it. And the Shomachinim chooses to do so, he can also collect it. So why? After all, we should say Mavriach Arim and therefore you don't have to pay. And says Tosfos in Svar Lachali Bein Roa Atzmo Shemutzal Lov Lesasek VeLishmo LeInish Diyama. It doesn't seem to really be a basis to say, well, the difference is a roa as opposed to a stranger. Why? After all, since the roa had no legal responsibility to go ahead and lay out money because it was on the shomachinam, so it really shouldn't make a difference. The old says Tosfos, I'll give another kasha. There's a Gemara later on in this Masechta where the Gemara says Shataf Nohar. Chamoro v'chamor chavero v'niach shelo v'hitzo shel chavero. Strange case. Let's say the river is overflowing and starts wiping away all the property. So I have my chamor and I have your chamor. Your chamor is worth more than mine, and mine is worth more than more. The Gemara discusses over there. And let's say what? I'm such a nice neighbor. I cause care about you so much. I decide to save your chamor from the flood, and mine gets washed away. So says the Gemara there, Ein lo ela scharo. All I could collect for my services is this schar. What does schar mean? My time, right? The value of my services. The scharo mi yashokyo, says the Gemara. But what the Gemara Tosfos says is that he can collect money for services. We don't say mavriach ari ba'almahu. We don't say, yes, mavriach ari, and therefore they can't pay. Says Tosfos, well, the din is, as found in the second paragraph above Messiah, that a Meshev Aveda, a person who returns an Aveda, could also receive payment for what? The time that he missed work. He can't receive a reward for doing the mitzvah, but he can receive payment for like a poel batel. So lo amir lama, we don't see over here, lo havi kem avriach ari b'yama. Lo yitol klum. Hmm? Like a guy who could be earning money, but he's not. Yeah, it could have been. So it's not a lot of money, but it's like a poel batel, how much of that will work. So Tosfos gives the following answer. I'll skip, because I want to do a lot today. I don't know how much we're going to get done. But take a look down the third wide line in Tosfos. So skip to Tosfos' answer. Here, and this is, now you want to know why it's called Mavriach Ari. It could be that the way Tosfos explains this, you could see why Chazal hung on to this expression. V'nir l'ri, the Mavriach Ari she'eno notel schar. This case where, a person chases away the lion and doesn't and cannot collect payment, hainu, when it's not clear from the outset that what he's doing is going to cause any loss. Kigon shahari rachok, hari imlaf. The line is far away, and I don't know if it's coming here. The ain matzilo elamidaigo minapachad shedoik shema yavo. The only reason why I extend the effort to try to chase away the lion is because I'm afraid. I'm wondering, maybe it's going to come, maybe I'm not sure. There's no, it's not clear yet whether there's going to be a loss. But if it's very clear that there's definitely damage going to take place, and the animal's in pursuit, and the lion is running, and he's just about to kill, or more than that, let's say I literally go ahead and I shoot the lion while it's attacking, so then you could certainly be paid. Just like the case where what? The river is overflowing. It's not a question of if, but it's happening. And one of these chamors is not going to make it, so I choose to save yours. So in that case, I could certainly go ahead and collect payment because it was clear that there was going to be damage. This case over here is talking about what? With the yurakos, the peros that got squashed under the animal, saved the animal from tsar ba'alma, right? From pain. But it's not clear that the animal would have died. The guy said, you know, I thank you, because if it weren't for your peros, my animal would have a backache all week. Even though there wouldn't have been a real what, a hefse. So Tosa says the following, that the case of Mavriach Ari is very limited. Mavriach Ari means that what, in a situation where I go ahead and do something to protect your property from a possible damage, so then I can't charge you afterwards. But if I go ahead and I do it when there's what? When there's definitely going to be danger, well, there's definitely going to be hefsed, so then I can charge. Anybody want to...
Which case you can charge?
I can charge in a case where there was definitely going to be damage. I see it, right? The animals...
He was asked to?
No. He did it on his own.
But I wanted... I had some.
You want to collect from the insurance company?
Yeah, I had some reasons why I wanted the area come in.
I didn't know that. I mean, listen, if I see my neighbor's lights are on in his car one night, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, his door's open, I close the lights, right, to do him a favor to save his. It comes out in the morning screaming at me. I wanted to destroy my battery. I don't know. I mean, it's not really much of a timer.
But I wouldn't expect. If I were the one who I wouldn't expect to get paid for it.
Oh, so maybe that's why. So I was just going to say, Tosfos doesn't explain this distinction. So let's try to see what could be the basis for this distinction. Why we would say when there's definitely a hefsed that's coming, so then I can be paid. Why is it that I can send you a bill, right? Again, I'm working for you. I'm your shepherd. Because Tosfos said there doesn't seem to be... Tosfos says there is no difference between a shepherd and non-shepherd. If I'm a Shomer Chinam, I'm doing you a favor. You ask me to watch your sheep.
I thought it was quite independent.
It could be. But Tosfos says it really doesn't make... I'm talking this out with you. So I'm watching your sheep one day. So if the animal's charging, he's definitely going to go ahead and kill the sheep. So I have no chiyuv to lay out the money. But I choose to do so. And I do so because I'm a nice guy. So then, I can send you a bill. But if one day, right, but if the situation is exactly the same, although I see a lion in the distance, and I do what I can to chase the lion away so that it shouldn't come with Bekach, so then I can't bill you. What's the reason? So I think you may have touched upon it, or someone did a moment ago. And that is a what? One way to explain it may be, it's a question of his expectation at the time that he does this. When I do this favor for you, what am I expecting? So if I know that if I'm in a situation where I go out of my way to protect your property from sure and certain damage, then it could very well be that part of my cheshbon was what? I'm going to pay for this. I'm doing you a favor. I'm doing you a favor here. I understand it may not be nice.
It's a
mitzvah. Okay, good. That's a good question. So
why should you? It's not going to be.
Right, so that may be another way to explain the difference in a situation where there's an obligation as opposed to not. But Tosfos doesn't give that chiluk. Tosfos says it's a question of whether it's vaday danger or safek danger. So it could. There was no danger anyway. Right. Right. You can't prove necessarily that you did me any favors. Right. Different than what?
That's not the same idea of why he doesn't get paid.
It's different than what I said. Right, it's a different. No, but that would be a svara to explain Tosfos' distinction. In other words, when there's certainly going to be danger, so you can't say later, you know, you didn't do me any favor. What do you mean I didn't do a favor? The animal had already started attacking. As opposed to what if the animal's 100 yards away, and I say, you know, you owe me money because I scared away. Right, I could always say nothing would happen. Right, so that's a good. Possible story. So let's take a quick look at the at two other. Well, maybe for the moment, we'll take a look at one other view, and we show them the Mi'iri. The Mi'iri also deals with this question. It's on the sheet that I gave you. The Mi'iri says the following: Masha be ironu b'mishna she'at b'nefata ala yirakos v'shalemes v'shenenes. Okay, so all right, we'll read the whole thing inside. I was going to say, let's give a read the whole thing inside. Kishelo nafla lekarka amol of the Gemara ma'zatim ma'vriach harim in the chasav who the Gemara says you would have thought that this is like a case of ma'vriach hari v'lo lishali midi you shouldn't have to pay anything in kan el havrachas hari all I've done is chased away the line so what this means is hatzalas behento shalenech bat lekarka who pirshu gedolim in a farshim the mitzvah hudaka of it that what the person doing the mitzvah kamash malan dichihavi chayv lahatzil midaito. That when a person what has a chiyuv to save somebody's property and he doesn't, he dies till chlomid isay tamon that he's there at the time. So that's when we say it's like havrachas hari. About hecha the lesser, but over here where the guy wasn't even home, right? The neighbor's animal fell into my gina, I wasn't even there. Lo b'chayiv, I certainly don't have to pay for that. I didn't make any conscious choice to help you. Inami mavriach hari dafke the lesser, save the highest lepsin. That's what the Gemara said. Vezush amar perak hagozel. So now the Miri asks the same question the Tosfos asked. What about the Gemara later on in Perek HaGozo where it says V'shatav nahar chamor v'chamor chavero v'hitzav l'shal chavero v'niach shalom. The guy saves his neighbor's chamor and his dies. Shano tel scharo v'ein donen oso kam avriach hari. Now we don't say that that's the case of avriach hari. Af apisha mi daito oso v'chein v'meshav aveda amru hayu batel menasel an oso nekapoa batel. That if what? If he missed a little bit of work he could be paid for it. Af apisha mi daito oso. Tirtu Hain, so Tosfos answer, Shekol Shematzu Legamre, Eino Karoi Mavriach Hari. That any situation where there's a clear Hatzola, in other words, it's very clear that you rescued the property, so we don't call that Mavriach Hari. Eino Havrachas Hari, Elo Kol Shematzu Mipachad Ahefsik, Kodem Shiyavo Pariachov Chaveiro. In a situation, let's say a person pays off his neighbor's creditors. Right, the guy's coming after him, so he pays his debt. Ain't a hatzola mamish. Shariyam v'tamin hamarev. The fires have been alay. Umachol. Right, perhaps sometimes when a person tries to get involved to help somebody else with a loan, he's just trying to be mafias the malve. V'chein zonas ishto. Similarly, if a person what helps pay for his wife's mizonos, not his own wife, but somebody else's wife. Shema, maybe she'll feel bad and something the tasbik masiyadeh. She'll say, you know what? If I know that what the money's coming from you, forget it. I don't need it. Oh, yarviach lo avia. Perhaps she'll get money from her father, or achero. Perhaps the brothers will pay. Betoch kach karu mavriach hari. And because of that, we call it mavriach hari. In other words, mavriach hari means where I go ahead and I do something that I don't. What? It's not clear that I did you a tova anyway. It's not clear that I did you. It's not that I saved you from definite danger. That's more or less. That's what Tosfos says. The Yesh Metarsim is a different answer the Miri gives. The whole ain olav shum srach tivui bezdin. That in a situation where a person has no legal requirements, srach means what? Even semblance. There's not even the slightest trace of a legal requirement to do what I'm doing, to go and koreach ov chaveiro. If I go ahead and I offer to pay my neighbor's debts, the donas ishto, I pay his obligations to my neighbor's wife. So that's my mavriach ari. Because what? I'm going above and beyond, I'm stepping in, I'm doing something which is clearly nothing more than a favor. Aval shomer aveda v'shovech yeinam etnei divsho shachaveiro u'matzot hamoro shachaveiro sheshav yoser tzad mitzvah, sheshav yoser tzad mitzvah. All these cases are a little more like a what? A mitzvah case. So anyway, this is not going to necessarily answer any or all of them, but this is an answer that we also find, a very similar answer in the Rashba, in the Ramban as well, that in a situation where you're doing something which is really more or less like a favor, that's what we call Mavriach Ari. But once you have but once there's already some mitzvah that you're involved in, so we don't call them Mavriach Ari anymore. It's right.
So in all cases, Mavriach Ari, he expects payment if there was a danger. But if there was no danger.
Right, danger not to himself, but if there was a right. If there was a clear danger to
right. There are like three categories.
Right. Well, no, there are different ways to explain the distinction, all right? What would be the three categories? What do you mean?
One is if it's a mitzvah, then it's not a mavriach ari.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mitzvah. But in case of whether there is no mitzvah, it's a
right. Right, that's true. If you combine the shittos, it can come out almost like three different categories. Now, there's a shul over here which is found on the bottom of the page from the Shvus Yaakov. And listen to the following ma'aseh that happened. Ma'aseh shahaya pol lefaneinu achar hasreifa hagadola pol ki hilaseinu shnas tof mentes. There was a big fire. Shenisraf kol hakihil hakadosha. The entire community burned down. Ubayis echod nitzol. But there was one house that was saved. Shahaya ba gimel batin. Ubinyanim ze agav ze. Apparently, it's hard to visualize this situation, but there were three homes, one on top of the other. It sounds a little more like a three-story building, but whatever it is. And when the one who's living in the top floor saw that there was fire on all sides of the building, not his building, but of the all sides of, from his neighbors, Shiber Hagag Mei Aleha. So what he did is he basically knocked in his own roof in order to prevent the fire from spreading. Venitzel habayis, and in fact, it worked. The house did not catch fire.
His own house or the
other? He knocked down the roof of his own house. The achekach toveya lahatachtonim sheyitnu gam hemel siyuas agad. Even though why it was his responsibility, obviously he has to take care of the roof because he's got to live there, but he wanted to force the people who live below to contribute. Right? He did it by himself. So should they also have to contribute or not? This was the question, real maisa. Right? So there was fire in all directions. He came up with this last minute chap that if he knocks in his own roof, it'll prevent the fire from spreading, and it worked. So now he wants to send a bill to the guys below that they should contribute because their house was also saved. So tshuva, hinei nir l'chor etanis elyon tanahi. It would appear that what? He has a good tanah. V'lo abikam avriach harim enech sechaveiro, kedemasik b'shas. This is not like a typical case of Mavriach Ari, we can't send a bill. As the Gemara in Perek HaKonis, our Gemara, Daf Nun Ches, says, Mavriach Ari, Menach Sechaber, Les Leib Seida, Hayis Leib Seida. The Aplifi, Ma Shepir Shu Atosos, Maharosh, Va Mordechai Shom. Even what? With that which the Rishonim say. The Midaito, that when a person does something willingly, not with knowledge, Afagafti Isleib Seida, Havikam Mavriach Ari. Even if there is a loss, it's so come Mavriach Ari.
This is how we pass in. If I pay someone else's debt, I can't send them a bill afterwards. Nevertheless, they conclude, that what is the case of Mavriach Ari?
That's what we saw in Tosos, when it's not clear that there's going to be a loss. Kegon Sharin Rachel Kabbal Madam Borrow of a Karl of Adai Shiyavo Hefse, Hazana no Toscharo. The King Kamen, either the Dun, who Gam King Karl of Adai. This is definitely Karl of Adai, this is definitely almost close to certain. Kevin Kol Sviva Vachla Ish. That everything was catching fire. Vagal Shal Eitzin. There was a wooden roof. The Shriach Ish Kabayu. Matzalazu, Atzal Matsuya. This, what he came up with actually works. Shechein Derech Eitzel Kol Shechein Yasrefel Islo Kagagos. This is what they do. They remove the wooden roofs in order that what? I guess they probably stone houses. So if the, I just clap what he did. So he knocked in the roof because that's the only thing that was flammable, and it worked. No one else was thinking as quick as he did. So we don't call this Habrachas Ari because that's what Tosfos says. It's only in a case where there's no hefsek. Now I'll just conclude with the next question, but we're not going to do the whole piece inside. I think you'll be excited enough about this that even if you have somebody next Wednesday night, you'll come back. This comes from the Sefer Evan Yisrael. Listen to this. Look at this beautiful shayla. Mashal Shoal Malas Kerodo B'Inyan Shchunas Neve Yaakov. If you've ever been to Yerushalayim, you know, one of the suburbs of Yerushalayim is called Neve Yaakov, and it is what? Right opposite Abu, is it Abu Dis? That what they call it? What do they call that place? Abu, what's it called? Whatever. Close to one of the Abus. Shayoshim amatehim krovim l'shcheinos ha'aravim. That's very close to the Arab neighborhoods. Behem gondim etzleim kol laila. And every night, what happens, there are break-ins.
When was this
written? Not sure. This is the last volume. It's a pretty recently. Because he has 9 volumes, this is the most recent one. So they have to what? Pay for guards, night guards. So the Be'yako, like many places in Eretz Yisrael, particularly the suburbs of Yerushalayim, are built on hills. So the ones who are really being affected by the thefts are the ones who live below. So they come and say that people who live on top as well, you also have to pay. Shagam heim yishtatu batzos ha'elu. Batanasam ilu heilu ha'yigarim sham. What do they say? If we weren't here, so then you'd be the first one on the line. Then they'd be stealing from you. So you have to pay us. Now, even though, again, it's clear that they're going to pay for the guards themselves anyway, because this is what they need in order to protect the property. But this is what their sign is. They want to force basically the entire community to have to contribute, even though the community as a whole is not being affected by this threat. So that's the question. You say they should.
Well, of course, they will go to the first charade. But
so you shouldn't have. The guy says you shouldn't have bought a house there. It's your problem. Who told you to be the first one in
line? With some of them, so.
Right. So it's an interesting shadow. So we'll see how he answers it next week. Okay, sure.